With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sandpits Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Please welcome the wickedly talented Bam! Bam!
Good afternoon and good morning, fam. Welcome to Hey Fam. Wow. My name is Levins and his name is Angus. And welcome to the last, hopefully, the last Maybe. Ever...
Let's not get too optimistic. We'll look like assholes.
Everyone knows I'm the optimist of the duo.
I don't know. We're optimistic in different areas, aren't we?
We're going to be back together in the same room as of next week for the rest of our lives. This will never happen again.
There's never going to be another pandemic.
There's not even going to be a second wave.
It'll be weird starting a podcast and having not to stop it. Because of technology, just because we're idiots, or we say something bad,
just because we just before we started recording, you were like, "Oh, I have to visit an island in 2 minutes," but don't worry, I don't have to look at it. I just have to go there.
Yeah, I'm carrying about $400,000 worth of turnips, and I'm in line to go to someone to sell them for $580.
But they're asking for nothing. Can you walk me through this process? You're like a Discord channel or a Reddit group or something?
Look, I'm going to flip this. I'm going to give you a full tour. There's this website called Turnip Exchange. Okay. And it's like you can look for townsfolk, items, anything. But obviously, its main draw card is you can go to islands with a high turnip rate, like high turnip selling price. But so someone goes on there and what they do, they're like, say tomorrow I wake up and I was a good person and I had like $600 bells. I'd be like, oh, I should go to turnip thing and sell them. I'm never going to do that. But so what you do, you open it up and you put your Dodo code in, and then you on the website say only want one, or you can have like 1 to 5 maybe visitors at a time, and you create a queue and it hides your Dodo code. And then I look along and I'm like, oh shit, this person looks good. They're not asking for anything outrageous. I might go there. I hit join the queue. And then like a queue of names is in front of me. It shows me how many minutes people have spent in there. And then you move up the queue. And when it's your turn, a little box pops up and it's like, click to unveil the Dodo code. And then you fly there and you just follow the person's instructions. So this person's said they don't want a fee. Just leave a little tip if you're feeling so. So I'm going to leave a little tip. But you don't have to. Sometimes they're outrageous. They're like 10 Nook Mile tickets, which is like 20,000 bells. Nook Mile points.
Angus, is talking about Doom Eternal.
I'm talking about visiting my family.
every Sunday Doom Eternal.
See,
oh, wow.
Now
hey,
I
friend, you're up. That's yours. Oh, wow. This is going to get Angus live visiting some random person's island.
I've got the Dodo code. Fuck, I've got it. Okay, I'm in my airport right now. I'm walking to the counter. I'm chatting to Wilbur. No, he's not Wilbur. Orville.
Do you do this every week?
Once a week, usually midweek seems to be the special spot when things like go well. Mine at the moment are heinous. They're selling for $80. So right now I'm top of the list. It says Angus and there's one person behind me. And so there's like 40 people behind me right now. And then it's pretty good. Like it's better than going on Twitter or better than talking to someone IRL, I guess. It's better than not playing Animal Crossing.
It's how many hours do you think you are now of Animal Crossing? Have you surpassed
135 or 140?
So no, you've surpassed Breath of the Wild?
No, that's still bigger.
Wow.
Because I got a new SD card yesterday and was looking at all the games to re-download from the cloud, and Breath of the Wild was number one still. So that's as of yesterday. It could change.
One Dodo code visit after another.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So, It's just so funny thinking back to the start of the year where you were like, yeah, I'm not going to play that.
I was like, dumb baby game. No way I'm playing that. I'm not falling for all the cute like internet moments.
And I was like, oh, give it a chance, Angus. It's a perfect game to play with
your friends. Like I said, it was great character development. It was. I wish I was a listener. That would have been amazing.
We completely swapped. Archie begged me to play it today. And I was like, oh, God. All right, fine. And then
it's amazing. I do wonder, and I said this before to you, would have I played it if there was no COVID and I was at home? And, you know, like, I think the thing is, like, it does rely on being connected and having friends come over and stuff. And I don't know. I wonder if I probably would have ignored it were it not a pandemic that forced me to be here all the time.
Yeah, sure.
And it is that fucking trifecta sweet spot of, like, it is... Everyone's at home wanting to find a video game. It's a very accessible video game for non-gamers. And it's emulating like real life things that we've found boring. You know what I mean? Like I wonder like if the world without COVID, like would this game even work?
Yeah, I mean, you love your favorite thing pre-COVID was to walk along the beach and pick up shells and then sell them
famously,
at the corner store.
I was always picking weeds and then selling them to a weird dude in my street called Leaf. Fuck, this person has a bad internet connection. So sometimes it relies on their end if you can get there or not.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So this is good. This episode will be dramatic about whether I get there or not.
How many bells are you hoping to make?
About 1.6 by the looks of things.
1.6 million?
Yeah.
And what will you do with the bells?
So at the moment, I'm doing some major town redesigning, which... You know, when you start the game, you kind of like just plot shit anywhere. And then later on, you start to go like, oh no, I want it to look a little, you know, I want these things here. I want those things there. And so every time you move a house, it's like 150. It's 50,000. Anytime you want a bridge or an incline, it's anywhere for like, you know, 90 to 230. So like it all adds up making it look good. So I'm just kind of saving a bunch of bells to kind of just redo my island, essentially.
Right. What does it look like?
It's going to be painstaking. Well, I'm glad you're not here tonight, actually, because at the moment there's a lot of things moving and it was looking good a few days ago, but then I got like, no, I don't like that. And then have started moving things. So,
I know this is like, that sounded so appealing to me at the start of the year before the game came out.
Yeah.
And you describing it now and me knowing what you have to do in order to pay for these like tiny little movements. It all just sounds like way
too much. It's real life. I mean, it's just, I would hate it if it was easy, you know, it wouldn't be rewarding. Right. So then I think you get more of an appreciation when you see somebody's island and it's crazy and you're just like, oh, I know what you went through. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, I definitely appreciate that. Like, there's that dude, Gary Witter, who...
who wrote Rogue One and he's got the talk show.
Yeah, yeah, he hosts a talk show in
so
his
cool.
Animal Crossing town and gets people to come in as their avatar.
Yeah, you had Elijah Wood.
A T-Pain.
Yeah, T-Pain
came in there and
it's
he
amazing.
Played one of his songs, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think like it's been the masterstroke of Nintendo this generation. And the fact they're not being cunts and like telling Gary Witter not to do that. You know what I mean? It's basically like open source. Like people have been graduating on there. They've been holding like college graduations on there.
Weddings.
I kind of love that. And it's where all those, the imagery of the game is so synonymous with COVID, I find. Like
maybe we
the
should
weird
try
avatars.
Should we try and do a Hey Fam episode? Or is that just trying to do what Witter does? We should try and do something.
Yeah, we should like do a Tumix Island or something. Have like cucumbers growing. Not that you can, but we can get someone to draw them and we can have signs. Like we can really figure, we could really make a Tumix thing, a mic. We could have a bathhouse.
Yep.
Yeah, we could have some cool movie posters. Like I can put those movie posters in right now. We can scan them on the website and get the code.
You can recreate Mike from my aunt's bedroom in Animal Crossing. That's great.
Yeah. You can have a Leon poster on the wall like him. That's like, we can do all that.
So, Angus is seating.
It would be very us to do something like after it's popular. So maybe we should do it down the line.
Yeah, sure.
On New Leaf, just on the DS one, the 3DS one. All right,
yeah,
so I've flown to this person's island, right? And they've said, leave a nice tip. They're going to meet me at the airport. So I'm bringing a tip just to be nice. I don't know what their name is. Gemma.
Are you giving them bells or give them like mushrooms or something?
I am going to give them 10,000 bells. Shit.
Petty cash.
Yeah, that's nothing. It's nothing to me. It means nothing. All right, so I'm
You can get that by hitting a rock in your town every day.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. Plus, I just had all my fruit harvest today.
I stopped. That's one thing I stopped doing. I don't grow fruit. I just grow money trees now.
But when they, what about when they finish?
Do they finish? I don't play it very often.
No, I mean, what about when you pick them? They don't regrow money.
Oh, really?
They're like, oh, it's a one-time thing. Fruit is the money.
I'm an idiot. I assumed money was the money.
No, foolish. That's why you fail at Animal Crossing.
Money is the fruit.
All right, so I'm selling my turnips. I'm speaking to one of the ratchet sons at the moment. They're of Mike's ilk, I think. I think
yeah, definitely.
When they remove those little aprons, there's a lot of older neighbors go, what's going on there?
That's actually the name of Tom Nook's third son. It's Timmy, Tommy, and Tumix.
Tom Numic. Tumic. All right. So I've selected all of them in the very hard to weigh Animal Crossing style. He's saying, look at all the fine things you brought. So I'm only doing one run. I could be doing a lot more. Okay, I got 1.9 something. So that's pretty good. Close to 2 million. That's pretty good for one run.
Wow, well done, bro.
So now I'm loaded.
Angus,
now I will leave.
I got one thing to say to you. Winning.
Hashtag winning. When I said, when we did our predictions of what we'll be doing and one of them was saying hashtag winning, you know. You know I'm saying it.
In your sleep.
Seriously, when my bank account, my numbers are so thin now where it shows you how much money you've got because I've got so much money. They've made the font thin and ugly because they can't fit it all in. I'm done. All right, that's it. I'm done. That was cool.
Well, that's it. Animal Crossing.
So that's Turnip Exchange.
The new segment every week on Hey Fam. Angus is going to go to some shitheads island and get a cool 2 million.
Hey, Janelle was nice. Or Gemma.
Shout out to Janelle. Janelle or Gemma, this episode goes out to you.
Island, maybe 3 out of 10. It wasn't that good. Mine's sitting on a 7. I thought mine was bad. I bumped mine up just then.
Maybe those 10,000 bells you gave her will help her get to at least a 4.
I know. I kind of feel bad giving her 10,000 for 1.9. It's like, see what I mean? It's got real person's problem. There's real 1% problems going on here. Real world money shit.
Will they like block you from coming in if you don't give them the tickets, if they request like 10 Tom Nook tickets or?
If it's a tip, no. But then other people have like elaborate...
like labyrinths that you have to get through.
Yeah, they'll have like it fenced off and stuff.
That's so funny.
And they'll be standing there and they're like, you can go through and yeah.
it's wild. Game.
So but I love that like people are like, oh, Nintendo should have their own online way of doing this. But I guarantee you, people just wouldn't use it as much as this. Like if Sony or another brand had like an online way where you did the marketplace and did stuff, it's just never as well made as like a fan's version. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So I love the fact there's this third party site that has like no, you know, it's what one of the things that keeps this game running so well in terms of like numbers. And like, I love that it's not an official app or something. Like I love that part of that game has made people create a system to share stuff. There's also one called, maybe it's like Nookazon or Amanook. Yeah, it's like an Amazon. But basically, so what happens is if I went to your island and there was an item there that I wanted, all I have to do is like touch it. You drop it, I touch it, and then I can order it on my island. It's like based on touch.
Right.
And people have like set up this website where you, and like I wouldn't even do this, you go through all your items and you catalog it and then you put it online. And if people are looking for like red chest of drawers because they're crazy and that's what they need, they find it and you're there and you're like, I will give you this for it. So it's like an eBay basically or Amazon.
Oh my God.
And you're like, I can send it to you or you can send me money or I can come over and drop it. Like it's up to you what you want to do. It's kind of crazy. Like that, I kind of love that it's spurred on these homemade things. And the guy's making like a lot of money from running that. I was reading it the other day. It was in like Forbes or something. It's like yeah, guy right. Who builds he's like true Tom Nooking it, which is awesome. But yeah, wow, that's a lot of Animal Crossing talk. I've been playing nothing but it. Like I played other games for a bit, but I keep going back to it.
I love that.
It's repetitiveness. It's a
beautiful thing for you. I think,
yeah, it's just a nice little thing. It's a ritual. You know, I get to wake up, not wake up, but I get to like leave the house Well, I don't leave the house, but you know, I'd get up in the morning, shower and kind of go to work. And all that time now is like spent doing Animal Crossing before my first meeting.
Yeah, I guess because I know Archie can play it, I'll always be like, oh, I'll just let Archie play it. And then I get really frustrated because he never empties his fucking pockets. And
fucking disgusting. Yeah, man. As like, you could tell how anal I would be at the game.
He still had like 40 Easter eggs in his pocket.
Disgusting. Ban him from the game. Then he come over there and boot camp him.
He's coming. He's going back to school next Monday. And so maybe that will be what it takes to get me back into Animal Crossing.
Maybe.
Some time alone with Timmy and Tommy and Tumik.
Yeah. Timmy, Tommy, Tumik. Tumik's in the basement.
So last week on Hey Fam, we actually gave Nintendo a bunch of shit. And I said like, oh, there's going to be no big announcements from Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo have really like, you know, dropped. They just don't give a fuck this year. The virus has fucked them. They're never going to put another game out ever in their lives.
Literally that night, as per usual.
There was a trailer.
Fucking Miyamoto's on YouTube, dragging, dropping, upload video.
Yeah, totally. He said, the Hey Fam boys have done it again. Put it out there.
Yeah.
So we got an announcement for Paper Mario, the Origami King.
Great title. Already game title of 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. I would have liked some like decimal points in there somehow, like Paper Mario 5.
Oh, of course. Yeah, yeah. Dream.
Yeah.
Hyper Dream.
Origami King Dream.
Prelude. Prelude to Thousand Year Door. Origami Drop King Remake.
Yeah, the Paper Mario, the 999th door.
99 and 3/4 door.
But yeah, so they were getting a new Paper Mario game, and this is something that I feel like there are so many Nintendo YouTube channels that, like, you know, you watch one of their videos once and then YouTube is like, hey, remember how you watched this one video one time? It's like, oh, hey, that guy Arlo who pretends to be a puppet, he put out another 10 videos today. Why don't you watch another 10 videos of him speculating about games that will never come out as a puppet? That sounds fun, it's right, like, Levins?
Absolutely.
You like that
not.
One video. But I feel like this is a game that like I know we will occasionally do Nintendo speculation maybe once a month, but there are channels where like they're just like their system is built around, especially now, like putting out a video a day, and there's so many that they're like, wow, you get a load of these sales on the eShop this week, or like, oh, have you heard the rumors about these games that might be coming out?
And oh, they've been saying the Mario remaster for like 10 years.
Yeah, and Paper Mario, there's been a new game rumored for a long time. I didn't play the last one on Wii U.
Well, apparently it sucked, right?
It didn't suck anywhere near as much as the 3DS one.
Oh, that's the one I meant.
I got that one. I still have that one. I should get rid of it. Man, I hate
it. Why did that one suck so much?
Well, so the Paper Mario series rules because it is like the kind of spiritual.
It's a spin-off
successor
of the RPG, right?
Yeah,
like the SNES. That was I played that first of all because that was never available in Australia. I remember playing that on a SNES emulator in the 64 era when I was in high school for like 97, 98. But it was out in the US, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it never came out in Australia. They released it as a. It wasn't even released in Europe. Crazy.
No,
no PAL regions got it. It was developed by Square, and
I think it was called like the Seven Stars or something
Legend
like that. Or
of
Secret.
The Seven Stars, yeah.
Fuck, and, man, that's going on like 23-year-old memory.
I played it when it was out on Virtual Console on the Wii and finished it and loved it. It was like just
and so you would never play it on the Switch. It'll
Isn't
never
it
come.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane that every like so many games. What do they announce this week? Like Tennis Man 9 and like Rally Box 2. Just like the fucking dumbest games. And they're like, here's an obtuse puzzler that from Japan that like a critic who's written a book about it likes, but no one will ever play. And it's like, cool. I could buy it for 9 cents at Super Potato, but I don't want to fucking play it. There's a difference between like. Cool box art and shit game, you know, it's just appalling.
Yeah, totally. So actually, yeah, there were some new SNES and NES games announced. Tell me if you've heard of any of these. So we have Wild Guns.
Oh, are you on their Twitter? The Schrodenfraud is so good on their Twitter because every comp they get ratioed every single time.
Yeah, you always send me screenshots of just like the people just do not care about these new
people. Just like, why isn't there Donkey Kong Country? Or like, you know, or why isn't there like really basic games?
Yeah, so the NES game was Rygar.
Cool. And then the SNES games
are Wild Guns, Operation Logic Bomb, and Panel Dupont. That's the game that was known as Tetris Attack. And it was also Yoshi's Island. And it was made by the legendary Gunpei Yokoi. So maybe I will give that a shot.
It was Yoshi's Island?
Sorry, my bad. In Tetris Attack, the characters from Yoshi's Island were in it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. I was getting confused. I thought it was going to be the one that was turned into Yoshi's Cookie. But no, that was another useless puzzle.
I had that on Game Boy.
But yeah, I just love that like the comments are just like, fuck you. Where's Super Mario RPG? Where's the Donkey Kong
Why do they even
games?
Theme it? How dumb would it be to go like, oh, we've just announced like Origami King. This month, it's Mario RPG.
Yeah, because like, on the Wii... The aforementioned Wii, I played Super Mario RPG Legend of the Seven Stars on Virtual Console. I also
the Wii which
the
launched 15 years ago.
I also played Paper Mario, the first Paper Mario game, which started on 64.
And that was like a sequel, right?
That's right. And then I played Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door on my Wii too, because that did backwards compatibility. And I bought the GameCube disc for Thousand Year
Door. Yeah, I had that on GameCube. It was great.
And there was a Wii Paper Mario called Super Paper Mario, which is not really an RPG. And that's when they start getting a bit fucky with it.
That's right. And you could play with the controller on the side. And it was like basically...
It was like a fun tech demo. You could kind of like go between a 3D kind of platformer and a 2D platformer.
Oh, I had that too.
But there was still like an RPG bonkers ass, like, you know, multiple world story going on.
I think it was pretty well received too, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it was like still a far cry from Thousand Year. Like that Thousand Year Door is such a good game.
Yeah.
Not just because of... Insane so game. What's cool about Paper Mario, and it's this starts at Super Mario RPG, is that like you don't just go like attack and it will take 17 points of health off your enemy when you attack them. You have to like time when you hit the attack. So for instance, Mario will jump, and if you manage to jump, like push the A button as you jump on someone's head and time it right, he'll do a flip and then jump on them again, and you get like double attack points. And you can team up with different characters and do different kind of attacks, and they're all based on almost like a little rhythm game that you play.
Yeah, that's
when
you
enter battles. And this is something
it's
that
all about like, timing.
A lot of other RPGs have done their version of. I know Costume Quest, the South Park RPGs that Ubisoft made, they use those attacks as well. But yeah, Paper Mario and Thousand Year Door especially just had like such a great story. Thousand Year Door, you play in like a version of the Mushroom Kingdom where everyone hates Mario.
That's right, I played that.
And you get teamed up with like
Goombas,
a Koopa, like all these like random, all these random enemies, but they become your friends and they have their own weird little characters. It was so good. It's such a good game. There was one super annoying, like crazy fetch quest, almost a parody of a fetch quest where you have to go to like every land you've visited so far on like this wild goose chase that just sends you back to where you started. I remember that being tedious. And then once you finish that, you get rewarded with like 4-hour-long bosses. But yeah, I mean, it sounds like a JRPG to me.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah.
But I mean, they're really fun. Those are the kind of RPGs that I like the most. I like the characters. I like the kind of lightness of them, and how fun they are. And I love that, like, yeah, you're always kind of doing something when you're in battles. But what made Sticker Star so bad was when they were obsessed with, oh, the 3DS is a portable device. So we have to...
It was like pick up and play. Like,
yeah, people only want to play Nintendo games for like 10 minutes at a time. So they like divvied it all up into these like weird little chapters. You revisited levels multiple times, but in really tedious ways. And I remember like at one point you have to like chase a bunch of enemies throughout, like try and find them in different levels. And I was like, I've had enough of this. Fuck this, man.
That one was like hated, right?
Yeah, absolutely hated. And I think the next one, which was like, I don't know, like Juice World or something. Paper Mario Juice World.
Really?
It was, no, I don't know what it was called.
What was it on? Wii U.
On Wii U.
Had a dumb name, right?
Yeah, Juice World. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Paper, Paper Mario Wii U.
Color Splash.
Color Splash. Juice World.
That's right. Didn't Sonic have a color game as well? Weren't these like Sonic idiots colors. Just obsessed yeah. with color? Yeah. yeah. Who cares? It's like that fun run. It was like when the like
the color, color run.
Every, yeah, they were just heaps into CrossFit.
and smashing like different colored talcum powder around. But yeah, I mean, this new Paper Mario game looks like a return to form. And it's totally a game that like would just be so well suited to Switch. Like it'll look really gorgeous on your TV, but also will be great. It's always fun playing RPGs in handheld mode.
Yeah.
I'm keen as fuck for this game.
I know you got a hard on for handheld, but I'm going to go on record and say it's fun playing them either way.
I know. I like holding my hand on hard on while I play handheld.
Yeah. You balance it.
Yeah. you get extra points. that's how, yeah. Miyamoto designed the Switch to be played. You paint your dick like different colors of the Joy-Cons. You pair it to the whatever Joy-Con you've got on the Switch at the time.
Yeah, I'm going to play it leaning on the Switch Lite that's in my house, using that propped up as a stand.
Yeah, I mean, you don't do it with yours because you bought the boring gray Joy-Cons and you don't want to like spray paint your dick silver.
Well, I mean...
I got the bright red ones, the bright blue ones. I got those banana yellow ones, you know.
Yeah,
I got a lot of options to choose from.
I got the adult ones. the ones that match... Like the dock and the console.
Yeah, I got the adult ones to play Paper Mario the Origami King on.
No, to play Animal Crossing every day.
yeah.
To spend the first 10 minutes of this podcast speaking about how I was making 1.9 million bells.
so that game is coming out, is it July? July 17.
Apparently it was just finished as well.
That's cool. Good on you, yeah, Nintendo.
I'm pumped. That's a big move.
There's rumors coming out from like different sources that there won't be another Direct for anytime soon. But that's fine if they just trickle out games like this. I don't really like care.
Who
about
knows? Like I don't believe anything I hear until it's a Direct. Like
yeah, that's true.
It's foolish to do that. Every time there's like, oh, I saw this list of games on 4chan and it's like Star Fox Skateboarding and everyone's like, oh my God, they're finally doing it. And then it never happens. Remember there was supposed to be Star Fox Racing announced like 10 times?
Yeah. That retro like, was
it's
making.
Just, yeah. And the worst part is the sentence always says on 4chan. And it's like, well, like that's when you should stop.
Yeah. And it'll like, be like a picture of like a photocopy that someone found. Like, oh, it's a leaked note.
Yeah. It's like office arms memo. Versus... Yeah, super arms maker.
Legs.
Just finally giving you the controls to the biggest franchise arms, and now you can make your own levels where you fight on those flat two-dimensional levels.
That's another Switch game that you played way more of than I did.
Yeah, and it was only like 7 hours.
yeah.
yeah.
I think I played more Splatoon 2 than you. before Paper Mario comes out, there is that that 51 Clubhouse Games, although for some reason in Australia and Europe it's called 51 Worldwide Games.
I love that. Pitbull.
Yeah.
Pitbull's he's EP'd it.
They're like, Australians don't know what a clubhouse is, but they love Pitbull. So we'll call it 55 Mr. Worldwide Games.
Yeah, it's just different game. It's you playing with Pitbull. He's the AI. He's like, yeah, nice move.
what was the brain training guy?
Dr. Worldwide's brain training.
Dr. Worldwide. it's just Pitbull.
And it's the polygonal face.
Yes.
I mean, he's a graduate, you know, it's not far off. He did graduate, as he reminds everyone.
Pitbull is like the Guy Fieri of the music world.
Hands down. It's amazing they haven't had a show or like an event together. In fact, yeah.
I'm just checking now. If they made a Pitbull Funko Pop, I would totally buy that. Damn, they don't. You can get a Funko Pop of the Pitbull from John Wick. Not the same. He doesn't have any songs.
No. I mean, maybe, but also.
my Guy Fieri Funko Pop arrived, and it is fucking
glorious.
Mine
shipped today. I got the notification.
It's so good. Like, I'm going to go get it.
Yeah, put it on. He's the third mic.
So it's Funko Pop number 49. I don't know. It's so weird how they all just have random numbers. Like, what are the Funko Pop the numbering system? Like, where does it?
I don't know. Maybe it's like, maybe there's like a center Funko Pop, which is like patient zero, and then it's all degrees of how Funko Poppy they are out of that.
Yeah, sure.
So what would the you'd put like a Big Bang Theory one as number one or zero, and then it's how to figure out.
No, it would be like a Batman variant of one of the characters from Big Bang Theory.
It would be a Comic-Con variant of Big Bang Theory. Yeah.
That's Patient Zero. Funko Pop Zero.
Yeah. And then so Guy Fieri is 49 out of that.
So, I mean, look, the Funko Pop itself is incredible. It's Guy Fieri in sneakers, a flaming Hawaiian shirt. He's holding a burger. He's got like big shades on. So it's actually masking those cold, dead eyes on every Funko Pop. But if you look closely, they are underneath the shades. Good. I don't know if you can take those glasses off. Eyes. But I'll never try. He's got his frosted tips, and he's got his brown goatee with the white the blonde salt patch. It's a hell of a
look. Footwear are we talking?
Like, you know, real shitty Kevin Smith sneakers.
Yeah. I got to say an amazing sentence today. My friend, a friend of the show, Kiko. was speaking about something to do with Las Vegas. He was like, we were there about 5 years ago or something, maybe four, I don't know. And he was like, oh, was that the night we were in Las Vegas? Like, it was a question or something. And then I was like, yeah, it's the day we got super drunk at Guy Fieri's restaurant. I was just like, oh, I can't believe I got to type that. And it's not like a meme. Like, we actually got so drunk at Guy Fieri's restaurant. And I was like, that's so sick that, like, that's factual.
So the box, like normally if I ever buy like a toy, I get that shit out of the box. I throw
get that shit out.
But the box is so good. Like you have number 49, Guy Fieri.
Dude, and it has 2020 Hey Fam, Angus loves Animal Crossing and you're reviewing Funko Pop boxes. It's like no one saw it coming.
So Guy Fieri's name is like written in like Hot Topic, like kind of like, you know, I don't know what font you would call that.
Oh, yeah, that's like gothic.
Gothic kind of font.
Nouveau gothic.
In the middle, in between Guy and Fieri, is Guy's signature, which is just the word Guy scribbled in red with a line beneath it and an exclamation mark. So it says Guy Fieri.
Guy. And it's like Mario in the Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, that's right.
His surname's Guy.
On the back, a big welcome to Flavortown.
Ooh, I love that there's nothing else in the collection. That's such a power move. There is no collection.
My favorite thing about this is you open it up and on the inside of the tab is love, peace, and taco grease.
Dude, that's so sick.
It's just like, what a great purchase. I honestly hope that like Hey Fam is responsible for 50% of the sales of the Guy Fieri Funko Pop in 2020.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, you know what we should do? We should set up... We recommend so much shit. Actually, it's probably an off-mic conversation. No, we'll put it to the team. We should set up one of those dumb Amazon things that no one uses. That no one ever uses.
Yeah.
But we totally are responsible for so many cunts' bookshelves and like dumb collection shit. Hell, some of us even sell them clothes. But you know what? It's like we recommend so many things. Jeff Bezos should be tossing us some bells.
Fuck, man, I tossed him way too much. I feel a little bit of guilt when I use Amazon, but at the moment it is just too convenient.
I don't feel any guilt. I need things delivered. I'm a paying customer. Like, fuck, I don't care. I'll go to an island. You know?
So last week I talked about getting the Junji Ito art book from Viz.
Yes. And then while you told me, I ordered a book simultaneously on mic. But didn't tell anyone.
What did I say last week? I was like, oh man, I really want to read every Junji Ito book now.
some and dumb like, shit, you know, like that.
I throw shit around like that all the time. I don't follow up on everything I say, but sure enough, the next day I woke up and I ordered every single Junji Ito book. So now I have 12 Junji Ito books, including the art book. I've got Tomi, Uzumaki, Gyo. I've got No Longer Human, Smashed, Shiver, Fragments of Horror, Frankenstein, The Dissolving Classroom, and then I have one about his cats coming called Yon and Moo or something like that.
So why did you get them all at once? Let's talk through that, because I think that's a bold thing. What if you didn't like it?
I knew I would just from looking at the art. Like, even if I hated the story, I knew I already love his art. Junji Ito is a Japanese horror manga writer and artist. He is just like, you know, he's so well revered. I've read Dissolving Classroom before and I really liked it. I've read Smashed when it came out last year. I borrowed that from King's Comics and read it. And I loved that and was like, oh, this is one that I should own anyway. But I knew that like the kind of the works everyone talks about of his, Uzumaki, Tomi, is it Tomi A? Maybe it's Tomi A.
I don't know.
Yeah. we never mispronounce things on this podcast, and Gyo, and I read all three of them already,
insane.
I read Frankenstein last night. Fuck man, it's the best.
I'm reading Tomi at the moment. I'm about a third through Tomi.
Tomi Dasilo.
Yeah, that's all I can think of when I see that little bitch with the dot on her face.
You just want to hack Tomi Dasilo into pieces and then he
comes my back to life.
Grows out of your neck. Yeah.
No, it's good shit.
Man.
See, we should be setting up affiliate links so we can buy stuff. Like, you just bought that fucking 12 books. We should be making money on that. You know?
That's a good point. Make a Hey Fam affiliate link for ourselves.
Seriously, we buy so many things.
But yeah, so for whatever reason, there was like a sale or whatever on Prime last week for all of Junji Ito's books. And I got all of his books for like between 20 and 25 bucks. And they all said
like... Tommy was like 24 bucks.
They all said like, oh, like two copies available. I was like, shit, better get all of them. And so I did, in true me fashion. And man, no regrets. They look great. They're awesome editions. The Viz story collections, and then the, I don't know what the other ones are, but these awesome hardcovers. They're so good. And Uzumaki, man, when you read that, do you know about? It's about like a small town.
Yeah, I know what it's about. I know it.
Everyone gets obsessed with spirals, and it's like broken up into chapters. And it starts out like with like just one. Like it's all centered around this one girl, and like her boyfriend's dad starts like she walks home and bunts into him and is just staring obsessively at a snail, and then he's like the first to get this curse, and he gets obsessed with spirals, and each chapter ends with like someone dying in a horrific manner because of their obsession, either like or their fear of spirals, and it just like escalates. And The tone of the books is so good. His artwork's like out of control. And I know that like Toonami are making an animation adaptation.
Yeah, I read
of,
that today in black
Uzumaki.
And white.
Yeah, and so far the trailer is just stills from the manga. And I wonder is it going to be actually animated, or is it going to be like one of those like motion comic kind of things?
Fuck, motion comics can go in the fucking bin.
Yeah.
So lazy. Just the absolute worst.
But there was a Junji Ito collection 2 years ago, which adapted, because he's best known for all of these short stories and these collections of short stories. A lot of them appear at the end of some of his bigger collections. But he has like a number of hardcovers that just have like a bunch of short stories in them. They're all like these like almost like Twilight Zone-ish kind of one and done short stories, and a bunch of them were turned into anime adaptations in this Junji Ito collection a couple years ago, and like it just looks so bland and boring and not like his manga at all.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's just so weird. Like, and this is someone like this guy's in Death Stranding. he was scanned by Kojima, and he appears as what's his character's name? He is like
a manga artist.
He's a manga artist, yeah.
And his name's manga artist, yeah.
You have to bring him like board games and manga and like cartoons and shit like that. And he was the first person that I got 5 stars with, just because I was like, that's Junji Ito.
Yeah, I think what's his name in it? Ginger Inno. Yeah, what the fuck's his name in it?
But he was also attached to Silent Hills, the game that Kojima was meant to be making with...
Oh, he plays the engineer.
The engineer, that's his name. But so Junji Ito was attached to... Was it Silent Hills, the game that never got made, that was Guillermo del Toro and and Kojima together? What was that one called?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't?
I don't think so. No, I thought it was just totally Guillermo del Toro and Kojima, wasn't it?
No, he was.
Sorry, I was just thinking of that other one they made.
The one that was on PS4s for a little bit for free and now isn't?
Yeah, what was that called? Something demo? What was that called?
Yeah, here we go. So, Del Toro cited on his Twitter account that Junji Ito was originally... That's right. A collaborator for the video game Silent Hills, of which both Del Toro and game designer Hideo Kojima were the main directors.
Right, so he's a designer. Man, that how the fuck did that game not happen?
It's insane, the lamest. Right?
It's so lame that never happened.
But yeah, man, I'm just like binging through all this horror manga now. I was working really late last night in my office, and I forgot to turn one of the outdoor lights on from my house before I came out to my office.
Did you get scared?
I've got shit scared, bro. I thought I was going to turn into a snake.
Did you really get scared?
I was just like, when you know when you are in pitch black?
It's where I bask in it, and that's when I start to feel.
You were born in it.
Yeah.
I merely adopted it.
I was molded by it, yeah.
But yeah, no, I got like a little uneasy. I may have sprinted back to my house.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's spooky that's shit, cool, man. I've never really read... I mean, I guess I've read like a lot of Western horror comics, but no... Japanese ones, and now I just want to go the fuck in.
Yeah, it's you know, reading this, I'm thinking a lot back to that exhibit we saw earlier this year, where it's like, you know, or Japan's like obsessed with ghost stories.
Yeah, no, totally. I just finished.
And you're like, oh yeah, this is like a modern version of blah blah.
Demon Slayer just finished this week as well. It's a anime that everyone loves.
The Kid Cudi album.
There's a manga called Demon Slayer, and it's pretty self-explanatory, but that had its last chapter this week too.
How many issues?
Like 200 and something. It was
a gentleman's 200. That's actually pretty good.
Gentleman's 200.
It's actually pretty good for manga.
But yeah, it ended in like this big crazy battle last issue. Like there's this massive battle that has been going on for like, you know, 70 chapters or whatever. And then the final chapter, it like jumps forward like to present time, cause it's set like a few hundred years ago. And you see like the descendants of,
oh my gosh, of the main Beeman characters. Blair. Beeman Blair. And you're like, here we go again.
It was a super goofy finale, but I would still recommend it. It's fun.
Beeman Blair.
I think I am definitely going to read Naruto just so I can read Boruto and tell you all about what happens to Boruto.
I want to read just Boruto. I'm going to go in cold, and I want to see if it works. I just love that. That's so funny to me.
Boruto.
Just if to call something younger is putting a B in front is so good.
What was that... You sent me a screenshot this week of an eShop game, because it made me think.
I got my Switch here. I should be able to bring it up.
You sent it. Yeah, it's called Discmaster.
Oh yeah, it was like just a pig dressed up as Harry Potter, but it has nothing to do with the game because it's like it's snorts and crosses or tic tac toe. Just like insane. Didn't a game get through this week that's a complete ripoff of another game, like a clone game, and there's like no quality, like on Steam, you know how those games just...
Yeah, I think when you buy Unreal Engine, they give you like artifacts that you can make your own game with, but like only as a like to play around with in the tools. But someone just straight up published the game using the, like, you know, the artifacts that they give you in the engine. And you can buy it on Switch now. Jimquisition did a video on it. It looks so funny.
But it's just the quality control in these games.
There's none whatsoever.
I it's hard to find a game on here. I've been on it recently. Well, I had to go on it because I updated and had to like download all the games. there's like, I'd say less than 10% of games have been developed for the Switch that are available for it. It's like the most rubbish catalog of games.
Wow, 7 hours ago, the trailer for Discmaster went up. Here we go. Discmaster is a game? Fun... oh, wow. Welcome to Discmaster.
It's just... why is it Harry Potter? It's, like, I want to sue up- them and I'm not J.K. Rowling.
Oh, my God, dude. It's just, so it's tic-tac-toe, except you play as furries. Like, but like Harry Potter furries. Like, so the pig, the wizard's a pig.
I fucking hate it. See, these games should barely be able to get onto an iPhone.
Discmaster is a fun fantasy version of a classic game of tic-tac-toe with a fun game card game twist. The game features a band of adorable young heroes on a brave quest to save their friend Nubby from the clutches of the evil Shadow Master.
Man.
Oh my God. Master the sword and shield wielding hero dogs, the stealthy karate cats, and fireball wielding fire hogs.
I fucking hate it. And you see these like 15 cent games and you're just like, it, nothing is good about this. Like, it's just, this is scarier than Junji Ito. You know what I mean?
Well, I think Junji Ito is the only man twisted enough to put together the Nintendo eShop.
That's his job. Yeah, yeah. He's the curator. Dude, there's a game called Stone where you play a hungover koala.
What?
By Convict Games.
Is that just out now?
Yeah. Well, it's about 10 scrolls down the main page, which means it probably came out half an hour ago.
Yep.
Seriously, none of these games are made for Switch. They're all ports of Steam games, right? Like, there's like less than 10. Yeah, it's insane. They brag about it and they're like, oh, there's 1,000 titles on the Switch or whatever. And it's like, no, there isn't. There's like 20. And the rest are just like piss poor. Like the fact what the golf is on there for like $29 is just insane.
It's crazy that they've like, because like that was announced as like the first time we ever saw it was in an indie showcase. But then.
Was it really?
Yeah, then it was a launch game for Apple Arcade. And so like, you know, you could essentially play all of it for free for that first month that you get for free on any Apple device, and more people definitely own an Apple device than they do Switches. It's crazy that that's only coming out for Switch now.
Just some of these games, the whackers are the ones that are like $47 and obviously a port of something, and you're just like, what are you doing? Like, you're going to confuse some poor idiot into buying that.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
it's the worst eShop. I hate it. It makes me like the Switch less, like looking at it.
Yeah, like part of me likes the fact that it just shows like the most recently released stuff. But because, you know, when you go to PS4, like you only see the quality stuff. But like sometimes I want to know like what the new stuff is. But
yeah, like, you don't get any of that.
The flip of that with the Switch is just like it. You just see so many games that you never want to play in your life until you see
and like one that you all those might. Fucking virtual novels. And they're like $70.
Or like horny Mahjong games.
Well, there's like so many that are $70 plus and they're just like virtual novels. It's insanity.
Mm.
Yeah, it sucks. Mm. It is without a doubt the worst shop. I hate looking at it. I've got to close it.
So the last thing that I want to talk about before we hit the PayFam switch and talk
remember
about
Remember they used to put a fucking seal
shit.
On Nintendo games? Remember like the seal of quality?
You're right. This is what I want to talk about instead.
No, but they've strayed so far.
Angus, before we put the PayFam seal on,
I know what you want to talk about.
The next hour, who do you think I want to bring up?
A real one.
Josh Trank.
Oh no, I was thinking of Fred Willard.
Oh damn! Fucking Fred Willard died. Let's save that for PayFam. For someone that we love a lot in comedy and movies is Fred Willard. And he died this week. He was old as hell, like in his 80s.
Yeah, he was like 86. What a great
But he was still working. Like he's about to show up as Steve Carell's character's father in that Space Force. Show on Netflix at the end of the week. But I'm looking forward to that a lot, actually.
So is that the end of this week?
Or early next week. I think it's like the end of May.
Cool.
But... yeah, like he was totally still working. Like he was in that other Netflix show that I Think You Should Leave, in that hilarious like hurdy-gurdy piano sketch.
Yeah.
But I thought we could go through some of our favorite roles of him, because I know that you don't allow yourself many public RIPs of dead celebrities. yeah. and I know that he means a lot to you. So I'll,
yeah, I love them. Yeah, I love that man.
So we're gonna go through some of our favorite things that Fred Willard has done on PayFam this week. Before we get there, Josh Trank, he directed Chronicle. He directed
Fantastic Four,
and then
almost directed Boba Fett.
And so he's just directed Capone.
Which had another name for a long while, which we spoke about last week. And
yeah, yeah.
We read reviews out and Al Capone shits himself and Tom Hardy plays him. And it just sounds so good.
There was an out of control interview with Josh Trank that came out earlier this month on Polygon.com. And it's called
Josh Trank. Is it up there would you say, with the Johnny Depp one, where the guy is hanging at Johnny Depp's place and he's drinking, you know, he's got like the $60,000 of wine.
He doesn't quite reach the level of insanity. Like, Josh Trank is a bit more level-headed than drunk-ass Johnny Depp. But
because he's young in the game. Josh Trank in 15 years. Now, that might be a different Trank.
You can tell that there's an insane person within Josh Trank yet, but you're right. I don't think he hasn't reached his final form yet.
He hasn't acted in like 5 Pirates movies yet.
Josh Trank, Ultra, Mega, Violet, or whatever. but yeah, so it's called Josh Trank, the Post-Disaster Artist, and it goes through his entire career. How, like, you know, his early upbringing. Granted, I knew all of that already because I listened to 3-hour-long episodes of him doing Kevin Smith's Batman on Batman podcast.
And it was just before Fantastic Four was about to come out. It was like 3 weeks in the lead up. Yeah. And then they were like, so we'll see you next week. We'll finish this off. And he's like, sure.
And by then the movie will come out. And like, he's like weirdly positive about it. And then,
and I think at that point, Smith had like seen the movie and, as per usual, like liked a movie, which was very out of character for Kevin Smith. But he was like, yeah, this fucking movie rules. Remember, he was like giving
his spiel? He hadn't seen it yet.
Kevin hadn't seen it.
He addresses it. He was like, well, fucking that happened. Like, it's actually like hilarious, candid Kevin moment.
And Steven, what's Josh Trank's relation with Steven Spielberg? That comes up, doesn't it? Remember there was some weird link?
Well, yeah, the link is that Spielberg made his first movie when he was 27 and Josh Trank wanted to beat... No, when he was 28. And Josh Trank wanted to beat Spielberg and make his first movie when he was 27. That was... That's what he wanted to do. And so, like... he actually worked on, like, a lot of things that I liked. He did that Patton Oswalt movie, Big Fan. He did a lot of work on that. The Rob Siegel movie. Did you see that one?
I don't know that one. I know Ratatouille.
Yeah, he played Remy the Rat.
I've seen Ratatouille, so yeah.
But man, this article is so crazy because it goes through like he started reading up on like the Twitter outrage over the fact that Josh Trank was the one who pushed for Michael B. Jordan to play Johnny Storm. And everyone was so upset, like, how dare a black character, a black actor play a white character? Mm. And, like, he like, went deep into, like, reading up people, like, you know, sending him threats. He was getting threats on IMDb message boards, and he thought people were going to shoot him. And so he started keeping a loaded 38 on his nightstand. And the quote is, I was so fucking paranoid during that shoot. If someone came into my house, I would have ended their fucking life. When you're in a headspace where people want to get you, you think, I'm going to defend myself. Trank returned the gun after wrapping production.
That's why
you can tell there's a level of like, you know, like unease to a lot of what he says.
Unhingedness. Yeah.
Unhingedness. Absolutely. But there is, it is like a kind of like, it's a redemption story of sorts, because even after like, just before Fantastic Four, which is one of the worst reviewed and worst like, it's like a box office failure. Most recent box office failure, I think besides like they're all Fox movies. The big failures, either Fox or Sony.
I guess Dark DC Phoenix. Too.
Yeah, but like Fantastic Four is just a new level of failure. I remember like when it finished, I just couldn't believe how bad it was. It was like I hadn't seen a superhero that bad since Wolverine Origins.
so tired.
And just the day before the movie came out, Trank tweeted, like, you know, somewhere out there is a version of the movie that I finished that was actually good, but oh well, I guess you'll never get to see it. So totally, like, just shot himself and the movie in the foot before it even came out. And
that's right. Like, and we went through his Twitter like 2 weeks ago. Remember, he was like saying some crazy shit on Twitter.
Yeah, he has a Letterboxd account, just like the boy Uwe Boll.
And
he reviewed Fantastic Four and said it wasn't as bad as he was expecting it to be.
That's such a power move.
The redemption arc, though, is he, like, you know, powers through. He gets a second chance, I guess. He finds an investor to make this Al Capone movie, and he really wants Tom Hardy.
Who is that? Who gives him money? I'm so curious. I want to explore that.
They do talk to him at one point in right. the article. It's a super long article. It took me like almost an hour to read. So he flies to London to hang out with his actor of choice. And I just love this line so much.
And Tom Hardy is one of the dream guests. He's always a mic on for Tom Hardy, like, right? Especially after his Venom performance.
His Venom performance, the leaked MySpace photos of him just being like, yeah.
Banging.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So here's the quote. Trank and Hardy hit it off. They were both prone to long, abstract conversations about art. They were no bullshit about the industry. They loved vaping.
That's just, yeah.
Just
that those two words, those three words say more about, I think, like, you know, than the Rolling Stone Johnny Depp article that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when you found brethren, isn't it? When it's just like, oh, they liked that. They loved vaping. It's also not like they enjoyed vaping. Like, they loved
vaping. Absolutely. Like, and you're like, fuck. There's another line. There's another reference to vaping in this. The first time I talked to Josh Trank about Fantastic Four was also the first time he slowed down. After a deep breath of vape, he recounted the details of the shoot, like Robert Shaw delivering his Jaws monologue. It's an incredible article.
I just love the fact that there's a timeline where this cunt made a Star Wars movie, and like,
and they talk all about that. And there's a real bummer moment. So in June, the Hollywood reporters, Kim Masters, who originally reported on Fantastic Four the year prior, took the opportunity to ask Kathleen Kennedy and Steven Spielberg about the director. She said, "So when you look at the young directors, how do you know you're not hiring another Josh Trank?" She asked. "Who is that?" Steven Spielberg wondered.
That's so funny. You can see he's heartbreaking on television.
Yeah, I mean, to his credit, like, Spielberg didn't hire him to do anything, so, like, I don't know.
No, of course not.
He's an old man. He's got Seabiscuit.
He makes, like, Bridge of Spies. No, he made War Horse. Bridge of Spies, War Horse, and that newspaper one. You know, he's doing all those weird modern era Spielberg movies.
And Ready Player One.
Made by different filmmakers. Man. But the last 10 years of Spielberg is fucking crazy. I'm pretty sure he's done it, but it's like BFG, Ready Player One, War Horse.
Are any of them good? What was the last good Spielberg movie?
Tintin.
Yeah, true. But look, I really want to watch Capone now. I always wanted to. Yeah. How much is it?
Oh, is it out?
Yeah, it's out. It came out on March 12th.
What, internationally? You sure that ain't that dumb fuck?
So it's on Prime Video, maybe. But you know who's in it? No. It's like it's Tom Hardy, Linda Cardellini from Freaks and Geeks, and
Cardellini,
she's.
I will even pull you out on that one.
Mrs. Hawkeye, and Scooby Doo.
Hell yeah!
And then Matt Dillon, Kyle MacLachlan. It's a fucking good cast. I don't know. I'm like,
I can't find it. I don't think it's out here.
Can you find it on iTunes? Oh, it's only on the US. You're kidding me.
Damn it.
This sucks.
Is it on US iTunes?
It's on. Oh, you're right. Yeah, we have US iTunes. Maybe we should buy it on US iTunes.
I'll do it.
$9.99 to rent it. Oh my God. Tom Hardy's face looks so wild. And like, yeah, it goes just into like
old
big descriptions of like Josh Trank like putting too much diarrhea on Tom Hardy for a scene in which Al Capone shits himself.
That's so good.
Like he took it upon himself to like to be the guy who puts shit on Al Capone.
I think Al Capone needs a little more shit in this scene. That rules.
Yeah, man, fucking crazy shit.
Trank me later.
Definitely read that article. And yeah, we're going to try and watch Trank. Maybe for the... Capone. They should make the Trank movie. Oh, man, they also talk about like he clashed heaps with Miles Teller, who played...
Yeah, Miles Teller's like a notorious cunt as well. I'd love to be in a room with those two. Apparently he's crazy. Just like one of the worst dudes.
It's so funny because he's such an average bloke. Like he's not...
Yeah. Miles Teller...
And like Whiplash is great, but like, was he one of the things that I loved the most about Whiplash?
I don't know. Oh yeah, there's some like stories about him.
What else has he done?
He's in that Nicholas Winding Refn series.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. The one that is on Prime.
I'm just reading a Ranker article here, and you know it's called Why is Miles Teller 12 Reasons Why Miles Teller is the biggest douche in young Hollywood.
he was in War Dogs with Jonah Hill. I've never watched that before. Is that good?
All right, you tell me that. I haven't seen it, bizarrely enough. You tell me this. He blamed the bar after being arrested for public intoxication. Is that good or bad? I reckon that's a kind of a power move.
That's amazing. Like,
that's like, well, officer, if we want to get to the root of the problem, it's this bar. He makes rape jokes.
But it was the bar's fault. Those are the bar's fault.
That was also he said at the end of an Esquire interview, Teller ordered Anna Peel an Uber. She told him about some sexual assault accusations aimed at the company. In response, he said he ordered the do not rape service.
Oh my God.
He makes lame jokes about his dick. Look, I'm not going to make anyone lose points for that one. He talks trash on his own movies.
Oh man, that's fine. In 2015, Esquire wrote an article on him called Miles Teller is young, talented, and doesn't give a rat's ass what you think.
He looks insane. I think he kind of looks like young Bob Dylan.
Miles Teller is still upset about being called a dick.
He insulted his contemporaries. He calls Joaquin Phoenix Walk, even though he doesn't know him. That's kind of... I kind of like that.
Walk. Guak.
I like that. He almost got into a fist fight with Josh Trank. I think that's good. I think for both of them, they both get points for that.
Definitely.
He sent Damien Chazelle a nasty text after getting passed on for La La Land. I mean, that's business. Oh, this one's... he has a bicep tattoo dedicated to 32-ounce beers.
What?
So, he has a Roman numeral on his arm, which is... it says 32 crew, and it's because in Florida, he could buy 32-ounce beers with him and his buddies, and they all drank beers one night and got a tattoo that said 32 crew.
That's so funny.
I mean, it just sounds lame.
Let's get those tattoos.
Yeah, 32 crew.
He's just a douche.
He sucks.
You got to watch back. You got to watch Fantastic Four, man. It's such a shock.
Yeah, I know. Tim Heidecker's in it at least.
Yes, I forgot he's in it. He's fucking... He plays Reed Richards' dad. Oh my God.
Or is he a teacher at the school? No, he's dad.
I think he's the dad. Maybe he's a teacher. I can't remember. He's one of those things.
Yeah, I got to watch it.
Tim Heidecker is in that and Ant-Man 2 and The Watch.
Insane.
And he's the husband in Bridesmaids. I love when he shows up in movies. It's so funny.
This is a good tie into the second one. Tim Heidecker could well have in mainstream movies, the Fred Willard effect, where you appear in a scene or two and steal the show.
Well, I mean, of course, and they collaborated a bunch of times.
They collaborated.
We'll talk about that in PayFam. Yeah. So every week we do two episodes of HeyFam. This one's called HeyFam. The other one is called PayFam. And you can get it by heading to patreon.com/HeyFam. $5 a month gets you two episodes of HeyFam every single week. Hour-long episodes, mind you. Plus access
later.
To our Discord. Should we call this episode Trank Me Later?
Of course. we'll get that tattooed in Roman script.
Oh, perfect. And yeah, we're going to be talking about Fred Willard. And the big news this week is, by popular request, we are going to do a good chunk on kind of like, I feel like we did like hours upon hours of PayFam episodes about Tumix last year. Tumix,
oh,
of
yeah.
course, The Korean.
Some would say PayFam was started last year to house Tumix conversations.
Maybe you get served these ads for horny Korean comics, but Tumix is a service that has given us such gems as My Aunt, My Stepmom, and Closest Neighbors. And Angus
the roommate. What is it? The roommate.
Yeah, my roommate.
We're both VIP subscribers. We spend $13 Australian a month to have access to them all. And we both dust off our accounts recently and have a lot of catching up to do.
Sex comics that make neither of us horny.
Yeah. If anything, my penis has gotten smaller since reading Tumix.
But we both caught
up. Maybe that's just because I'm looking at Mike's dick the whole time. And so, you know.
Yeah, so Angus caught up on My Aunt, and we're going to go through frame by frame what I think is a series at its peak of creativity.
It's a really strong arc. It's great. Let's not say anything. Let's just save it for PayFam.
Patreon.com/HeyFam. Come and hang out with us over there and hang out with us there every week. We'll see you then. Enjoy the rest of your week and see you soon. Bye.
Goodbye.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.